Good evening, everybody, and glad to have you come and join us for our live stream tonight. We've got everybody staying home because a lot of folks are sick from coronavirus, and so we're trying to keep everything separated. And look, we got some folks who need to keep in prayer, keep continuing to pray for people. I heard Mrs. Noble has got it as well, so keep her in prayer. Praise the Lord, Brother Starkey's back home. He got out of the hospital this week, so there's a praise there. And I'm getting over being sick, and also keep Mrs. McNabb in prayer as she's in the hospital. She's doing good. She's doing all right. She's getting better. Just pray that God will keep blessing that health and keep pushing her that way, and that she'll continue to get better. All right, we're hoping maybe we'll be able to be back on Sunday. We won't have Sunday school. We'll just do Sunday morning service, but that's tentative right now. That's not a definite, but we'll let you know. And look, if you're still sick, hey, stay home, get healthy, get better. We may have it may be a sparsely filled auditorium, but we'll have some people here maybe to preach to, and we'll kind of say hi to one another from a distance. But we'll see how things go. All right, keep Pastor in prayer. He's doing better. I talked to him today, and he sounded a lot better from the previous times I've talked with him. So he's getting there as well. So I thought tonight, before we get into the message, why don't we just take a time here, and I'll pray, and you at home, you pray it right there where you're at, and we'll just take some time, go to God, and bring these folks that are sick, bring them to him, and ask him for healing. And look, we want to see all our members get better. And then let's pray and ask God that those that are healthy, that haven't gotten sick, that they would continue to stay that way. All right, so we'll let's take some time to right now, and let's do that. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we can still get together as members and meet with one another, even though we can't see each other. We're able to hear from your word and hear from you, God, and we just ask that you would please bless this message tonight, and God, give me the wisdom and the power to preach, and help me to be an encouragement, help to the folks over the airways. And Lord, we've got a lot of people in our church that are sick right now, and we just ask you to put your hand of protection upon them, and please bless them and heal their bodies up, give their bodies the strength they need to fight the sickness. And it's a sickness where it's just basically, our body's just got to do the work, and it's a virus. There's not much you can do, but, you know, boost your immune system. And God, we just ask you would bless those that have this, where their body would be strong and stay strong and be able to get over the sickness. And God, we just ask that you would help those that are healthy, that have not gotten sick, that you would continue to give them good health. And Lord, we just ask you bring us all back together again soon, and give us opportunity to see one another and to worship you together in your house, Lord. Once again, we thank you for the opportunity to at least still be able to meet, even though maybe over the internet. And God, we just ask you to bless the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God for cups to drink out of, right? Praise God for cups to drink out of. The title of my message is Cups from God. Ever try to quench your thirst by drinking out of your hands? You don't get much in a handful of water. You know, it just when I'm real thirsty, man, I don't go to the faucet and try to drink like this. It's going to take a while to quench that thirst. And just as you start to get enough down, you run dry, so you got to get another handful. And man, it's hard to quench your thirst with just a little bit of water at a time. It feels like it just takes forever. You want just a nice big cup of glass of cold water and just be able to douse that parched throat, right? Especially on a hot day. Down here in Texas, man, when it gets hot, man, you want a nice cold glass of water and just drink that right down, and man, just cools your throat and quenches your thirst. And your mouth was dry, and now that water comes in and freshens your mouth up. Or maybe you want a nice cup of hot coffee in the morning, you know, or getting into cooler weather, and so the house is a little, might be a little cool in the morning, and you get up, and Now, I know Pastor's turning me off right now. He's going, no, no, Brother Dunbar, that's not what I want. But maybe you're one of those people that you want that a nice hot cup of coffee in the morning, and you warm yourself up, and you put in your favorite cup or mug, and you just, it's refreshing because you're cold and get a little bit of caffeine in you, or maybe you're a tea drinker. I don't know what it is, but man, it's good to be able to get a cup of something to drink, right? Especially when you need it the most. Well, have you ever thought about the cups that God gives to man? Go to Psalm chapter 23. There are cups that God has given to us. And you know what? I'm sure that you've tasted some of those cups. I'm sure if you're saved, I know you've tasted at least one. And tonight, we're going to look at those cups. Go to Psalm chapter 23. Look in verse 5. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." We've got different cups, and there's different cups that God has given to us. And I've got five we're going to look at tonight. Five different cups. Now, this first one that we're going to look at, we're going to get the bad one out of the way here. You do not want this cup. And if you're saved, you don't have to worry about this cup, all right? Go to Psalm chapter 11. Look in verse 5 through 7. It says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." This cup here is the cup of God's wrath. And I don't want to take and partake of the cup of God's wrath. The judgment that God brings down to the wicked here on this earth. There are wicked on this earth, and you know what? Sometimes the wicked will experience the wrath of God right here on this earth. And you know what? Sometimes it appears, man, the wicked seem to get away with everything. Right, there's some things going on in this country right now. There's a lot of wickedness going on in this country, and we think, why are they getting away with it? But you know what? If they keep doing it and they keep going at it, it's going to catch up to them. Eventually, God's wrath is going to come down upon them. He's not going to let the wicked get away with it. It may appear that they've gotten away with it for a time, but at some point, their wickedness is going to catch up to them, and God's going to bring his wrath down upon them. You don't want to be there when that happens. Man, thankfully as a Christian, we don't have to worry about that wrath coming down upon us. Now, we may have to worry about him spanking us, him correcting us, but you don't have to worry about his wrath coming upon us. But even worse than God's wrath here on this earth, which, look, it's bad. If you go through your Bible, you can find some places where God's wrath came down upon man, all right? And often it brought death. It wasn't just a, oh man, I got hurt or this was a bad time. No, sometimes it brought death to people. But you know what? What's even worse is God's wrath after death. Go to Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14 and verse 10, it says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." Ooh, that's some serious wrath there. I don't want to partake of that cup. That cup is everlasting. It doesn't stop. They're going to experience that and experience that and experience that. Go to chapter 20. Look in verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Sin's got to be paid for, folks. And if you don't get it paid for before death, then you get to pay for it after death. And you get to experience the full wrath of God. I've heard different people make the comment of, you know, oh, God's not in hell, you know, that he's absent from there. But in reality, no, God is it. God is present there. He may not be in there, but he's present there. It's his wrath. They get to experience the full wrath of God. And then when they get tossed into the lake of fire forever and ever, they get to experience the full wrath of God. Well, we're experiencing the full goodness and blessings of God in heaven. Hell is the complete opposite, experience the full wrath of God. It's not a place that I would want anybody to go. Look, there's some people that may be our enemies that we may have disagreements with, but man, I hope you don't want to see someone die and go to hell. I hope you have enough sense to at least, hey, if you've got opportunity to give them the gospel, look, I understand some people, they don't want to hear it. They don't let you give it. But try to give out the gospel to people. Because if they don't get saved, they may experience some wrath of God here on this earth, but man, they don't know what they're coming to after death when they experience that wrath. They're going to be in a place of torment forever and ever and ever. That's not a place you want to be. Not a place you want to be. And as a Christian, you don't have to worry about going there. Because of this next cup, Psalm chapter 116. Psalm 116, verse 12, it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." If you're saved, you've enjoyed that cup of salvation. You've tasted it. You know it's good, and you don't have to worry about that first cup. That first cup, it's already been taken care of. You will not have to worry about it. Everyone who partakes of the cup of salvation does not have to worry about that previous cup. Man, God's judgment of the wicked, it's not going to come to you. And we as saints, as I said before, look, God's correction will come because we're his child. He wants us to do right, so when we stray from him, man, he's going to correct us, but we're not going to experience his wrath as would the wicked. Because we're his child. Now, you'll experience some discomfort, but not like the wicked will. And so that cup of salvation is good. You know what? One of the reasons why we get to enjoy that cup of salvation so much is Jesus already partook of that wrath of God for us. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 39. It says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now, there's speculations as to what this cup was, but you know what? We know that Christ, when he died, he went to hell for us. He said, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's where hell is, folks. And Christ went there for us. And so guess what? He experienced the full wrath of God. And even while on earth, when he hung on that tree, God forsook him. He turned his back on him, something we'll never have to experience, but Jesus Christ went through it. And God turned his back on him, and he got judgment on him, even on this earth, because he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, and then he went to hell for us. But you know what? He didn't stay there. He left hell. He kicked out of there, and he had the keys, and then he arose from the grave victorious for us so that we could enjoy this cup of salvation. We enjoy it because Jesus said, "Here, I'll take care of that other one for you so you don't have to have it, and you can enjoy this cool, refreshing cup of salvation." If you've never experienced the cup of salvation, you're missing out. You're missing out. It's a good cup. It's a refreshing cup. It's like a nice cold water on a hot day kind of a cup. Man, it just, I know when I got saved, it felt like a burden just got lifted. Man, it was just good to enjoy that cup of salvation. You know, if you're saved here, you know what that cup was like. Go back in your mind, think about it. Remember how good it was? How wonderful it was to enjoy that cup of salvation? It's good to look back on the day you got saved and remember what you experienced. Remember what happened and go, man, that was good. And just thank God. Thank you, Lord, for that cup of salvation. That was good. I enjoyed that. That was a blessing to be able to have and to have the opportunity to partake of it. Thank him for it. Man, where would we be today if it wasn't for that? I know I wouldn't be here. I can tell you that much. Praise God for it. Praise God that you had the opportunity to enjoy it. And man, think about it once in a while. And it's a cup that, man, we can go back to and go, man, that was a good cup. That was a good cup. Next, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look in verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. I call this the cup of compromise. A Christian should not partake of the cup of compromise. Look, if you're a child of God, you should act like a child of God. You should do the things that a child of God's supposed to do and not sit there and try to take of the devil's cup. Why would you want to take that? It wasn't good when you took of it before salvation. So why would we want to go back and partake of it now? It's not something we should desire, but you know what we as Christians are? I understand, folks, it's that flesh, all right? That flesh fights us, right? Fights us all the time because, and your spirit wants to do right, but the flesh is like, man, I just want to do this. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to deny myself because the spirit says, hey, we need to deny the flesh. And the flesh rises up and they're at odds. And just like here, you got the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. I mean, who would have both in their hand and try to drink of it? You can't do that, all right? It's the cup of compromise. You know what? God doesn't want you to be taking of his cup and then reaching over and grabbing the devil's cup. All right, when he doesn't want you coming and, hey, I'm going to live one way on Sunday morning when I come into church, but the rest of the week, well, I'm living for the devil. That's the cup of compromise. And you know what? People are going to see right through it. You act one way here in the house of God, and, hey, how's it going? I got... going to look sharp, and hey, I'm going for looking sharp and looking good, but don't be looking good just to so people have this idea that you're just, hey, I'm this holy person, and then we come in, and we sit down, and amen, the preacher, and then when we leave, and then forget about it for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Saturday night, oh, I got church, I better clean up. Where's that good cup? Oh, let me. Cup of the Lord. All right, I'm gonna start drinking of that because we got Sunday. Sunday's coming, and we got to go to church. And it's a cup of compromise. Don't do that. Look, you can't serve two masters. You can't enjoy both cups. Number one, God knows what's going on, right? He keeps an eye on us. He knows what we're doing. And so we're either gonna live for him or we're gonna live for ourselves. And don't live for self. Don't live for that flesh. Fight it. Don't drink that cup of compromise. It's not a good cup to partake of. Don't drink of it. The next one, go to verse 15 and 16. Right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look in verse 15. It says, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say, the cup of blessing which we bless. The cup of blessing. Man, don't we want that? Lord, give me your cup of blessing. But you know what? I notice everybody's cup is different in the cup of blessing. Sometimes God gives this person more than you. He may give you. But you know what? It's exactly what you need. Go to Psalm 68. Some of our problem with this cup of blessing is We're too focused on not seeing the blessings. We're too focused on seeing all the negatives in our life. And we're just, oh man, look at this bad thing that's happening. Look at this bad thing that's happening. Look at this bad thing that's happening. When in Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Not weekly, not monthly, daily. Meaning every day, God loads you with benefits. But sometimes we're too blinded by all the negative stuff going on in our life that God puts a benefit right in front of our face and we go, no, I don't want it. I don't see it. The other problem is we as Americans, we got it too good here in America. And I'm one of them. Look, we got it good. And because we got it good, we expect, well, I got to have this lifestyle. I got to have this goodness. And we don't take, you know, we take for granted the things that God has given to us. And, oh, that's not really a blessing. Well, yeah, it is. Most people would call that a blessing. Look, if you've got running water to your house that's clean and drinkable, you've got a major blessing. There is very few people in this world that have access to good, clean water like that. Especially, you can just go in, turn the tap on. There it is. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry. Praise God for that. Praise God for good, clean drinking water. All right? You know what happens, though? I got an illustration here. What happens, though, with some of us with our blessings? This is often what happens with our blessings. You got God here, all right? And he's coming to daily load us, right? And he's filling us. And he's filling us. And he often gives us more than what we need. But you know what? We're trying to, I want to keep all my blessings. We sometimes just try to keep it all in for ourselves, right? You know, I don't think that's what God wants. God often blesses us more than what we need. And you know what we need to do? Instead of letting all that extra just spill out everywhere, man, when God overflows you, why don't you give in to some other folks and share those blessings with them and say, hey, partake of this. Man, God's blessed me. Let me bless you. But often as American Christians, oh, well, I want to keep it all for myself. And you know what? You're not going to be able to do it. You can only have so much. And it's just going to overflow and then it's going to get wasted. Don't be like that. Don't be the wasteful Christian that tries to keep the blessings just for themselves. Allow it to be used to bless other people. You say, how do we do that, Pastor? Well, often, one of the ways that happens is when God blesses you with something, let's say monetarily, all right? He gives you a nice check, a bonus of some kind. You get extra somehow in your life. And the first thing in our mind is what? Oh, what can I get with this? What can I get for me? How can I consume? And we don't think, how can I bless somebody else with this? We're too quick to, you know, me. Man, that thing that I've been wanting, now I can get it. And man, I can do this and I can do that. And we got to be careful about that. Maybe God gave you that blessing because he wants you to be a blessing to somebody else. I don't know. Maybe God gave you that blessing because, man, he knows there's going to be some problems down the road and you need to be ready for it, and he's giving you that money. Man, I've seen that happen at times. You get a blessing, and you're like, hey, I got this blessing from God. We got this money, and maybe just hang on to it for a little bit because, you know, who knows what might happen, and then boom. Something goes on the car and it's $800 fix. Well, you'd be happy you didn't spend that bonus check that you had on frivolous things, because now you can fix what needs to be taken care of. Yeah, we don't know. I mean, God blesses us for different things, but man, take some of that and give it to others. Don't just, man, how can I just consume it upon myself? And that's not what God wants us to be. All right, he wants us to give back to other people. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 and verse 38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." This idea that, man, we need to give to others and we'll get back to us. Now look, it's not always going to come back identical. Some people think, well, I gave $100, so I should get $200 back sometime, right? God takes care of you in different ways. Just give, and we'll see what happens. Now look, it's not always monetary. Sometimes it's time. You ever give you your time? God gives you a little extra time for something, and you, hey, I want to give and be a blessing to somebody else with it. I'm going to use it to do something else. We're going to get into that in our next point here. But man, when God blesses you with that cup of blessing, which, man, we all enjoy that cup of blessing, right? It's good, especially when it comes from God. It's real good. But do we ever think of ways to, how can I take that cup of blessing and give it back to someone else? I think God likes it when he sees us Christians enjoying that cup of blessing and going, hey, God, there's another Christian that could enjoy it. Can I give him some? I'm going to give him some of the mine that you're giving to me, and we give it to them. And God's like, hey, my Christian's doing, they're sharing the wealth, man. They're giving the blessing out. I think God likes that. I really do. Go to Matthew chapter 10. It's our last cup we're going to look at. Matthew 10 and verse 42 says, "And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." This here I call a cup of service. Cup of service. This is not a cup that everybody wants to drink out of. Often many Christians, they don't want anything to do with it. They don't. God comes to offer him that cup. I don't want that cup. You know, the cup of service is—it's not always the nicest looking cup. It's often a very simple, plain cup. Often doesn't have the fanciest drink in it. It really doesn't. Often it's very plain, very simple. And you know what? Sometimes you don't even have anybody notice you drinking it. Sometimes when you partake of that cup of service, it's just you and God. And nobody else even knows that, oh, so-and-so, they're drinking of the cup of service over there. No, you're quietly drinking it, and you're enjoying it, but only God knows. Nobody else. That's not the one that most people want. No, there are times, yes, you'll partake of the cup of service, and hey, some people see you, and they see you drinking it. That's fine. That shouldn't be why you do it, though. All right? You shouldn't be drinking that cup of service just so you can be seen. Look, God wants us to enjoy that cup of service. We should be doing things to serve him. Do you look for that cup? Or do you run from it? You know, we all want the cup of blessing, but often when that cup of service, because sometimes that cup of service means it's going to take a little work. It's going to take a little bit of time. And you're not going to see, you won't see a monetary gain out of it. But look, Jesus says, hey, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, he'll in no wise lose his reward. You know what? There's a reward in enjoying that cup of service. It may not be here on earth, and most likely won't be here on earth, but you're not going to lose that reward that you've gained. Do you look for ways to partake in that? Often we run from it. We don't want anything to do with it. And so, man, when it's put right in front of us, we don't even see it. You know, and then you go, oh, well, I wish I could do something for the Lord. Well, God's given many opportunity, but you've not taken advantage of it. All right? And, you know, you want this. Sometimes we want the glamour. We want, man, I want to be seen. I want people to know that I did this. May not always happen that way. People may not see you, but take and enjoy that cup of service. Partake in it. Enjoy it. Man, it's a good cup. It's a refreshing cup. You won't be disappointed. All right? Like I said, it's not the most glamorous of cups. Often it's not the most fanciest of drinks, but it's a good one. And you know what? It has its reward. And we should be looking for ways, Lord, how can I do this? How can I take advantage of serving you? What is it that I can do to serve you? Man, when God brings those things, when brings that across in you, man, take it, man, drink it, enjoy it. Don't be a Christian that just, well, I just want that cup of blessing. All right, Lord, I'm saved. I'm enjoying my cup of salvation, and just give me those cups of blessings. Well, how about you look for some cups of service? Starting in little areas. Sometimes it's just serving one another. You know, sometimes one of the hardest things to do is serve one another at home. Because we see each other on a daily basis, right? And we think, well, they should do this, this, or this. Yeah, well, you make the mess yourself, right? I mean, I got to have this conversation with myself. I got the arguments in my brain, too, going, well, you know, you do make the mess, too, so how about you clean it up? How about you serve her instead of expecting her to serve you? But we don't want to do that, right? We want to just, oh, how about everybody, you pick up your cup of service and serve me, and then I can enjoy the cups of blessing. Yeah. Let's be Christians of that God wants us to be, and take that cup of service, serve one another. Find ways to serve God in the church and out in the community. I mean, there's ways to do that, but especially, you know where we need to start? Just at home. Serving one another. Serving our loved ones. Man, if we can't serve our loved ones, how are we going to serve somebody else we don't know? It's not going to happen. So we need to pick up that cup of service. There's five cups. I hope you've enjoyed the cup of salvation already. And man, go back to it once in a while. Think about it. If you haven't, man, now's the time of salvation. Don't delay that. You don't understand how refreshing that cup is. See, Satan, he has his cups, and he dazzles you with his cups, but they're bitter. They're, as the Bible says, it's gall. It's bitter water in the end, and they're not enjoyable. And then, on top of it, when it's all done, if you don't enjoy that cup of salvation, you get the cup of the wrath of God. I don't wish that upon anybody. You don't want that. You don't want to partake of that cup. Enjoy your cup of salvation. Then the cup of blessing. Hey, don't do the cup of compromise, all right, Christian? Don't partake in that one. But do partake in the cup of blessing and the cup of service. You know, sometimes the cup of service and the cup of blessing are one and the same. I've experienced where I've gone and enjoyed the cup of service, and before I was done, I was enjoying a cup of blessing. Sometimes God does that for you. Enjoy the cups that God's given to us, and let's together serve one another and serve God, and we can do something for Him. Let's bow our heads and we'll dismiss in a word of prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for the different cups you've given to us, and God, we just ask that we as Christians that we would do our best to enjoy that cup of service. Help us not to run from it. That's one that we should be willing and desirous to enjoy. And we thank you for the cups of blessing. We thank you for our salvation, God. Lord, if there's someone out there tonight that is hearing this message and they don't know they're saved, help them to find it. Figure it out, Lord. If there's a Christian near them, help them to go to that Christian and say, I need to get saved. And Lord, if they don't know, if there's not a Christian nearby, help them to dig and show them the way of salvation, God. They need to get saved. Lord, we just ask you to continue to heal our members, help those that are sick, that they'd get better. And Lord, please bring us all back again, healthy and doing better, so we can worship together in your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for watching tonight. I hope you got encouraged and it was a blessing. Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday morning. If we only live stream, look, someone will be here in this pulpit and we'll have someone preaching. So at the least, we'll be live streaming, but Lord willing, we'll be able to see a few people here in our church. So have a good evening.